The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 119th episode of Dave's Gone By, an hour of talk radio music comedy brought to you weekly and strongly by AM 1240 WGBB and live streaming on the web at am1240wgbb.com. And thanks to our sponsors, Hewlett Minuteman Press and Total Theater, publishers of Performing Arts Insider. We had a pretty interesting show last week. Alan Anderson, a soldier during World War II, discussed his book on stage managing, This Is the Army. That was the all-soldier musical Irving Berlin put together, and he sent to Broadway and then to the European front. And it was a good chat because Alan had a fascinating first-hand story to tell. Well, tonight's two guests should be equally amazing, even though they have a second-hand story to tell. That's because they're telling that story in a brand new documentary. And I think these are the first filmmakers we've ever had on the show. Their movie is opening this week at the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin, Texas. It's called Derailroaded, and it's the life story of this man.
My name is Larry. My name is Larry. I have a mother. Her name is Mother. Hi, Mother! Hi! I love you, Mother. I always love you, Mother. My name is Larry. My name is Larry. I have a sister. Her name is Joyce. My name is Larry. I have a grandfather. His name is Grandpa. Hi, Grandpa! Remember Grandpa when I used to go over to the house and you wouldn't let me go into the kitchen with the rest of the family? Remember that, Grandpa? Oh, listen, Larry, you be a nice boy and stay away from us. When we want you to come over, I'll get a hold of your mother and I'll call her up and you can come over, okay? My name is Larry. My name is Larry. I have an uncle. His name is Bob. Hi, Bob. Bob, I like you, Bob, and you're an artist, and I like you a lot. Larry, I like you a lot, too. You're a nice boy. My name is Larry. My name is Larry. I have an auntie. Her name is Becky. Hi, Becky. My name is Larry. My name is Larry. I have an auntie. Her name is Annie Estelle. Hi, Estelle. Hi. My name is Larry. My name is Larry. I have a brother. His name is David. Hi, David. David. You know, I talked about you on my album on the Wild Man Fishy Story. And could you say a few words? I am a certified public accountant. And my brother Larry is the worst singer, one of the worst singers there ever was. And I cannot see how in the world, with knowing him, anything is possible. Knowing him. Because I used to hear him sing all day long. My name is Larry. My name is Larry. I have a cousin. His name is Harvey. Hi, Harvey. My name is Larry. 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 My name.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a truly special night on Dave's Gone By. No, we don't have Larry Wildman Fisher as a guest, but we do have the Ubin twins. Jeremy Lubin and Josh Rubin. Sheer coincidence that The names worked out that way. Jeremy is the producer, Josh is the director. Together, they're the Ubin twins, and they spent nearly 3 years interviewing Wild Man Fisher, talking to his friends, his fans, his brother David, whom you just heard about in My Name is Larry. The life of Wild Man Fisher has had higher highs and lower lows than most of us can even conceive of. And yet, through it all, he sings his songs, songs that have made him one of the most played artists on Dr. Demento, songs that have brought him everywhere from touring with Frank Zappa to doing an open mic on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, songs that you will hear tonight on Dave's Gone By, along with an interview with the Ubin Twins, directors of Derailroaded. And I was going to title this episode Derailroaded, only I already used that one months ago when I was protesting the Long Island Railroad's fare hikes. So, instead, on this St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2005, we shall be re-railroaded from now till 8 o'clock. And as I say every week, this program truly is an hour of smart talk, silly talk, special talk, and music. It's also rated DGB-13, since very young children might not be ready for the full-on charisma of Wild Man Fisher and his life and times. For everyone else, stay tuned as we jump on the merry-go-round, and the spin begins right after this. Jimmy, did you go home and write 1,000 times, I will not disturb the class?
Here, Mrs. Bitchbarb.
Psst, Jimmy, you were playing softball last night. How'd you do it?
Easy. I went to Hewlett Minuteman Press and made copies.
Hewlett Minuteman Press?
1315 Broadway. They copy everything at a great price. I could have even had it bound and laminated.
Jimmy?
Yes, Mrs. Bitchfarb?
Look what I found. A receipt. Uh-oh. Here's your change.
Ow! 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 Ow!
Before you go to the box office, before you spend your hard-earned money on a Broadway show, do the research. With theater tickets topping $100, why not invest the time to see if you want to see it? Read Performing Arts Insider, your guide to all of New York theater, with timely listings, reviews, rumors, everything you need to know before you go. Performing Arts Insider. Single issues and subscriptions available from TotalTheater.com or call 516-295-1511. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB in Freeport, New York, and live streaming on the web at AM 1240 WGBB.com. And very, very excited to talk to my next two guests, because I played a lot of outsider music on this program. I played people like Wesley Willis and Shuby Taylor, and I've had Art Paul Schlosser as a guest, the street musician from Milwaukee, and it's just something that I've loved ever since I was a kid, listening to novelty songs or listening to Dr. Demento. And then growing up into my teen years and discovering Frank Zappa and Captain Beefheart and that whole era and that whole sound coming out of the West Coast, discovered also through a friend of mine a 2-record set called An Evening with Wild Man Fisher. And the cover of it gives you sort of a clue as to in a way, the cover is actually more knowing and savvy than some of the rest of the music is, because he's basically holding a butcher knife to someone that we presume is his mother. And that actually is also a clue to his home life and his personality. We don't have Wild Man Fisher on the show with us today, unfortunately. But we do have people who got close to him for a bit of time very, very recently, and they did that in order to make a film, a documentary of his life. I've not seen it. It's coming to the South by Southwest Film Festival this month, so I'm just can't wait to see the story of Wild Man Fisher being told by Jeremy and Josh Lubin, who are on the phone with me now. Jeremy, Josh, you there?
Hey, Dave, how you doing? Actually, it's Josh Rubin and Jeremy Lubin.
Your kid is Rubin and Lubin?
Yes.
Oh, right. Brother.
Very strange coincidence. That's why we go by the name the Ubin Twins.
The Ubin Twins. Well, how did you guys meet?
We met actually in, Jeremy, what was it, like the second grade?
Second grade,
and we've just been vibing creatively together ever since then.
Cool.
So we had a rap group.
Oh, God.
That we formed in seventh grade, so...
Well, how old are you guys?
We've kind of been on the same wavelength for a long time, so this project was just right for us.
Now, who was just talking? That was...
That's me, Josh. Really.
Me, Josh, okay. And now, and how old, roughly, in your 30s or late 20s? Or what?
No, Jeremy's 28,
uh-huh.
And I'm 27.
Cool. So how did you come across... See, I was listening to Wild Man Fisher like 20, 25 years ago, but it was a much more recent thing for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
What
this
happened?
This is actually a good story. First of all, we probably would have found out about him sooner or later, I'm sure. But I was eating lunch in a restaurant called California Chicken Cafe in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was by myself. I was wearing a suit. And this guy all of a sudden comes up to me, and he looked like a street person. His skin was dirty. He was wearing tattered clothing. And he gets right in front of my face as I'm eating, and he goes, "Do you know who I am?" And I go, "No, I'm sorry, I don't." And he goes, "Well, I'm Wildman Fisher. Have you ever heard of me?" And I go, "No, should I have heard of you?" And he goes, "Well, I was discovered by Frank Zappa, and Zappa produced my first album, and then Rhino Records formed around me. I was the first artist on Rhino Records and made three more albums." And you know, I was kind of looking at him, not really sure what to think. If all that was true, why was he appearing like a street person? And he was talking. He went on and on about how Solomon Burke saw him perform at a talent show, and then took him on tour with him, and you know, all this other stuff.
And this was apropos of nothing. He just sort of appeared. You know, you didn't ask him. You weren't like seeking him out, as you know, certain acolytes would have, considering now you know of his fame.
Exactly. He just appeared kind of lonely, and he was looking for someone to talk to.
And probably a sandwich. Yeah.
And what happened was, I went home that night, and just out of curiosity, I went on the internet and I did a little Google search on him, and I realized that everything he told me was absolutely true.
Yeah.
He was pretty well documented on the internet. And Josh and I were living together at the time; we were roommates.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Josh about this, and we were really interested to hear these albums. So we went out, we found a used copy of Evening With on LP. And
by the way, it's not on CD. We'll get into that in a bit. But they've never released it on CD. Yeah.
Not on CD yet. We went out, we found a copy of Evening With, and we played it, and we were just absolutely blown away. We had never heard anything like it. It was actually during a time when both of us were kind of, you know, disillusioned with music. We were looking for something new to, kind of make that type of impression on us. And we just... The song Wild Man Fisher Story is really what did it. It's an autobiographical song, and we just realized how complex of a character he was. And, you know, we just thought, you know, he seemed pretty accessible, and we thought, you know...
If you knew where to find him, yeah. So how did you end up... I mean, it was one thing for him to appear. How did you track him down again? It's not like... I don't think he has an apartment.
We made a... We actually made contact. The guy who introduced us was a Howard Stern lackey.
Okay.
For lack of a better word. Melrose Larry Green.
Okay, yeah.
Melrose Larry Green was actually serving as Wild Man's like ad hoc agent at the time. And we set up a couple meetings with him because as his, you know, quote unquote agent, he was, you know, kind of he was his guardian, basically, because Larry, he has a very close circle of friends who are all looking out for his best interests, and sometimes he can't handle a lot of his business affairs. He needs some extra help. He's been burned so many times.
Yeah. And also, maybe we should backtrack just a little bit and let people know a bit more about the Wild Man Fisher story. I mean, he was an outsider artist. He did a lot of his stuff a cappella, made money to an extent, singing songs on the street.
Wildman Fisher, basically... was an abused child. He was in an unfortunate situation as a child. He had a very strange and abusive mother, coupled with an early onset of manic depression and paranoid schizophrenia. Now, in order to deal with his terrible childhood that was going on, he used to go into his room because he had no friends and he had no one to turn to. And what the disease was, you know, making his mind do was just making him giving him the ability to create these one-of-a-kind, original, amazing, manic songs at a very young age. And he did this to cope with his family life and also because he didn't know what was happening inside his own mind. He wasn't diagnosed yet.
Yeah.
So that was basically the start of the Wild Man Fisher story. He then, once the schizophrenia hit, he then declared to the world that he was no longer shy. And he took to the streets and beaches of Los Angeles and decided to make a living by selling his songs to passerby for 10 cents a pop. So that's where really the legend of Wild Man Fisher starts. Everybody in L.A. who we've spoken to, who was around UCLA, who was around, you know, all the beaches, Santa Monica, down to the Sunset Strip is where he's really famous, but, you know, everybody knows who Wild Man Fisher is because he would go up to you and say, do you want to hear his new song for a dime? And it was, the amazing thing was is that it really was an amazing new kind of song, and that's what he pitched people.
Boom ba boom ba 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 boom ba boom ba 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 boom ba boom ba 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 boom ba boom. We're the mopey people and we like to dance. We're the mopey people and we love romance. Boom ba boom ba 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 boom ba boom ba ba boom ba boom ba 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 boom ba boom. Betty and Bill are in the bedroom and they're doing the mope. Boom ba boom ba 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 boom ba boom ba 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 boom ba boom ba ba boom ba boom. Or are they? Boom ba boom ba 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 boom ba boom ba 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 boom ba boom ba 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 boom ba boom. Will you do a heel toe, a top toe, a flap toe, a round toe, a right toe, a left toe, a shoe toe, a pigeon toe, and baby you are doing the mope. Boom ba boom ba 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 boom ba boom ba 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 boom ba boom ba ba boom ba boom. We're the crazy people, we're the crazy people, we're the crazy, crazy, crazy mopey people, we're crazy people. Okay.
Hey baby, for a good time, don't call me. Read Dave Lefkowitz's book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. It's got all these funny comedies in it. They make you laugh, they make you think, they make you Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby.com. If you like Dave on the air, you'll love him between the covers.
You're listening to Dave's Gone By, and with me are the Ubin Twins, filmmakers who did a documentary about Wild Man Fisher, his life and career in the music biz, including the Frank Zappa years.
He made an amazing double album with Frank Zappa called An Evening with Wild Man Fisher, which is a cult classic. And after he kind of had a falling out with Frank, he then took to selling peanuts for the Dodgers.
Peanuts! Peanuts! Get your red hot peanuts! I'm selling peanuts for the Dodgers! You can't tell the players without your peanuts!
But then he was sort of semi-rediscovered by Barnes & Barnes. The guys from Fishheads, and actually one of them is Billy Mumy, whom people remember from Lost in Space.
Yep.
And they linked up with Rhino and gave, and as Wild Man told you, he was the first Rhino recording artist. His song, Go to Rhino Records on Westwood Boulevard, was, you know, their theme song. I mean, this was before, obviously, they started doing box sets of the Kinks, you know.
He started the whole piece. He basically was, you know, helped jumpstart Rhino Records.
The label formed around him, literally.
Yeah, they were he was the first. Wild Man Fisher, Go to Rhino Records is Rhino LP 001.
Go to Rhino Records on Westwood Boulevard. Go to Rhino Records on Westwood Boulevard. They have nice people there. They'll show you where the records are. Where are the records? They're over there. They're all over the place. Go to Rhino Records on Westwood Boulevard. Go to Rhino Records on Westwood Boulevard. You can get Herb Albert and Jackie Lomax for 40 cents. Da-doom, da-doom. Da-doom, da-doom. Go
go to Rhino Records on Westwood Boulevard. Go to Rhino Records on Westwood Boulevard. On Westwood Boulevard.
And he did 3 albums for them over the course of about 10 or 15 years. So, but anyway, I jumped there just to give people some background. So getting back to your story of being hooked up with, you know, through Melrose Larry Green,
right,
of the Stern Show,
mm-hmm,
and again getting to meet him a second time, because now you wanted to meet him. You know, the first time he's just in your face. Now suddenly, you know, you're stalking him in a manner of speaking. And how did it go?
It went amazing. Basically, we met him right near our house. We were living in Hollywood at the time, right off Melrose.
Okay.
And, you know, the thing with Larry is that he'll meet with you if you buy him a dinner. That's his thing. So we bought him a dinner, and he actually was with his friend, Fugly the Clown, who's a L.A. performance artist, who I think is brilliant.
Oh, okay, cool.
So they came together, and he, you know, he just kind of relegated us with his amazing stories. I think it was like a 3.5-hour, 4-hour meeting. He, you know, because Larry loves to talk, and he loves to talk about himself and about all his experiences and mishaps and, you know, adventures.
Did you bring a tape recorder?
It was fascinating because, you know, all of it's true.
Not only that, but he would just randomly burst into song.
Just
start singing songs from, you know, the Evening With album or, you know, one of the Rhino albums, which was also, you know, pretty entertaining.
What restaurant would he be allowed to do this in?
It was a place called Hot Wings Cafe on Melrose.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It wasn't one of the high-end restaurants.
No.
Okay. Well, cool. So, and then at what point did you go from being like, oh, my God, we had this wonderful dinner with the unbelievable Wildman Fisher? How did that sort of morph into, we have to tell this guy's story on film?
It started off when Jeremy brought home that album, really, and we you know, hit play on the record player. It was just, there's so much information in that album. You know, it runs the gamut from an amazing, you know, musical brilliance that's happening in this collaboration with the great Frank Zappa, late great Frank Zappa, to this really sad and upsetting story of his childhood that he tells so truthfully. And because, you know, one of the early theories that we took on was that because of his paranoid schizophrenia, it's kind of enabled him to have this pure output of art, so to speak. So, you know, just hearing this man's story, you know, some people could perceive it as, you know, entertaining or freakish, but, you know, we saw it as just, like, brutally honest.
You know, when I was 17 years old, I asked my mother if she'd buy me a watch, and the answer was no. And now I have my own watch, and I never had a watch before. It tells time. Maybe I can go back in time. Could you picture me going back in time? Frank Zappa's house? Wouldn't that be just great? Imagine me and Frank alone in the room talking about how my record was going to be so great. Wouldn't that just be great if I could go back in time? Wouldn't it? I'm sure all my fans would agree. Because my record would be so different. And it would be so beautiful. Because I would be in complete control of the record. Because I would just say to Frank, I'm in control here!
Larry, wake up. Time to go to school.
Mommy, do I always have to go on that bus with all those mentally disturbed kids?
What do you think you are?
Mother, I love you. Larry, I want to borrow some money from you because I need money real bad and I got you out of jail. Norman, I love you. I love you like a brother. I love you. I love you. But Norman, I'll never see that money.
Larry, I wouldn't lie to you. Why would I lie to you? I always pay you back. I've always given you money. No one else will give you money. I've given you money.
Never loan your brother any money, 'cause you'll never see it again. Sometimes I worry.
What do I worry?
About my friends. Oh. I never had any friends when I was a kid. Oh well. Now we're back in the real time. Today. And I'm looking at my watch. And what do I see? It's nice to have a watch.
I need more Dave! Oh, I hear that all the time. Once a week is not enough, but you can get all the Dave you want on CD. Dozens of complete episodes, just $14 per disc, shipping and handling included. Add one more dollar for a personal autograph. Dave's Gone By CDs come with jewel cases, photos, liner notes, makes a great gift. So, for more info, check our website or email davesgoneby@aol.com and ask for the CD list. Thanks, Dave!
Oh, honey, you turn me on. I'm a radio.
That's right, Joni. I turn you on all week long for a bunch of shows on WGBB, like Wednesday nights at 11 for psychic astrologer Joyce Keller, hosting radio's longest-running psychic advice show. She knew I'd say that. Thursday nights at 6, an hour before Dave's Gone By, it's WGBB Tonight with Larry Davidson. And then, right after my show, Smooth Jazz, The Instrumental Invasion with Mike Shamari at 8. Friday nights at 6, Bonnie D. Graham has advice about being single and singular on Long Island's dating. It's a madhouse. It's a zoo. It's Mikey and Jimmy Saturday night. And then on Sundays at 7, Joe Salzone offers conservative politics with a sense of humor and an open mind on your world.
If you're driving into town,
dial in AM 1240 WGBB for Joyce Keller Wednesday nights at 11, Larry Davidson Thursdays at 6, yours truly at 7, Mike Shamari Thursdays at 8, Bonnie D. Graham Fridays at 6, and Joe Salzone Sundays at 7.
Call me at the station, the lights are open.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. We're talking to the Ubin twins, makers of the documentary Derailroaded, about Wild Man Fisher, and asking him what gave them the idea to do this film.
You know, Jeremy and I have been looking at and collecting records for forever, and we're always looking for like the greatest, the best thing out there.
Right.
And like you said, we were really disillusioned. And it's just the truth in what he was doing. Whether, you know, some people might not find it, you know, melodically or harmonically pleasing, but it was just so real, and just kind of...
And funny, and yeah. Fun, and joyous.
Yeah, it was just everything. It was funny, fun, entertaining, original.
It inspired us to, put something together, to seek Larry out. And start filming him.
Well, had you done creative? I mean, you said you were in a rap group when you were in seventh grade, but had you done creative projects as adults?
No. We went to different colleges, so we'd always be communicating. Oh, did you hear this album? You know, it would just be that kind of thing.
But we both ended up moving out to Hollywood with filmmaking in mind, and we were both looking for a project to create together, and this just kind of fell into our lap. It was like right time, right place. We were wondering why there had never been a documentary made about Wild Man Fisher. It was just such an amazing subject and just had to be done.
Well, there was a point for, I guess, about 10 years where people knew where he was roughly, but he was staying in flop houses or on the streets, but you couldn't pinpoint him. And if you did, he might attack you. I mean, if his medication was off a little bit.
Well, I don't think he would attack you. I think
he's a pretty lonely person, and he's always looking for people to talk to.
Yeah, I think that's it's
Oh, okay. And then
an unfortunate rumor that's gone around, you know, revolving around about this guy's life is that he's violent, you know, and I think that's...
Well, he's had episodes of throwing people's stuff out windows, I think, and I mean,
yeah.
there are tales told on the net that seem to be believable, where he's the guest that's great when he stays for 5 hours and horrible when he stays 2 days, that kind of thing. Or
yeah,
I,
but, you know, in terms of punching people out, he's just, you know, a sweetheart of a guy. He gets frustrated, and he is a big man. I think he's like 6'3", and 6'4", but, and, you know, he can be... not violent, but just use his physical body to let you know that he's unhappy. He uses that to his advantage, definitely. But in terms of being violent, you know, that's an unfortunate rumor that's been circulating for a while, I think, about him. And
I'm glad to hear it.
Not true. Yeah, no, he's a peaceful person.
I ride to see you in the morning. I feel your warmth so true. The light inside of me is there for all to see, but all I think about is you. I see your face in every doorway that I have won. The light inside of me is there for all to see, but all I think about is you. Baby, even in the darkest night, I know.
Sponsor me, Dave's gone by. Run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.com or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me. If you're wise, on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. We're talking with Jeremy Lubin and Josh Rubin about their film, Derailroaded.
So when you started to say, okay, we're going to make a film, what did that involve? I mean, where'd you get the budget? How much was the budget? And how did you start collecting and getting material, apart from the interviews with him? But I assume you excavated footage and you know, posters and things like that.
Oh, it was a 3.5-year journey.
Oh, wow.
We started off doing it, you know, it just the first, I think, 6 months were spent courting Larry and, you know, with trying to get him to sign a contract, basically.
Hmm.
And finally he did that, and that's when, you know, we got the green light from his to film, you know, people who were his admirers who wouldn't have done it without his consent. People like Dr. Demento, and then people like, you know, Weird Al Yankovic started falling into place. And then once you get people like that, you know, it becomes an interesting project to a lot more people. Also, you know, we have footage from every single decade of this guy's life, starting from, you know, when he was 3 years old, his old movies. You know, his family or his collaborated with us. So
his family, meaning his what? His brother David?
His brother David.
And any, is there anybody else left?
There, you know, he has another brother named Norman.
Oh.
Who is somebody who we were told definitely not to contact for different reasons. But, you know, we didn't contact him. And that's
Yeah, Norman actually is, you know, from what we understand, he's pretty much bedridden. He's not, you know, too healthy these days. And, yeah, we're just kind of told to, you know, leave him alone.
But the parents are dead, and the... So it's basically the brother David is the connection, and he helped you with that archival footage, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, once he met with us and saw some footage and realized that we really respected Larry, and we're, you know, trying to bring him to the public, you know, just because he's so underground, he realized that we weren't trying to exploit him in a negative way, and he was definitely more than willing to share, you know, his thoughts and feelings about what happened with his family, and very deep, sometimes unsettling things. You know, it's a story that is unsettling, that is oddly funny, humorous at times, and it just runs the gamut in terms of emotions. So,
how much footage did you shoot to break it down? I guess it's a 90-minute film, or
hundreds of hours.
Hundreds with it.
Hundreds.
Wow. Oh my god.
Hundreds of hours. Yeah, I mean there's if we do, you know, when we take this thing to DVD, there's so much DVD bonus material. It's insane.
Yeah, well, I mean Larry was very accessible, and you know, he's not a very busy guy, so it was great. We had the opportunity to film him pretty much whenever we wanted.
Well, but there were, you know, it came in spurts a lot of the time. Sometimes, you know, he's a paranoid, schizophrenic, manic, depressive man. So, you know, he gets in moods.
Right.
Often.
Was there ever a time when he thought you were against him?
It was a very touchy thing to film him.
Well, was there ever a time when he was worried that you guys were going to be against him, or that
yes.
It was a bit, yeah.
Oh, yes.
he'd call us in the morning. And that's one of the things about Larry. He loves using the telephone, you know. That's kind of his main line to the rest of the world. But he would call us in the morning sometimes before we go to work. And he'd say, you know, I'm so happy, you know, that we're doing this. I'm so happy that you guys are my best friends. Because, you know, we take him out to dinner all the time.
Right.
We really do love the guy. I mean, we take good care of him. You know, we see that he's fed, you know, and he's being taken care of, and that he's brushing his teeth, that kind of thing. And then, you know, he'd just get into some kind of paranoid tailspin and just, you know, you guys are to blame, you know, I can't believe you guys are doing this, blah, blah, blah. So
it was
definitely a trying experience, and I'd never dealt with anybody like that before, but you learn real quick how to, you know, and you have to
what do you do?
You have to just approach it extremely sensitively, you know?
Well,
I mean, it just, because you know in 3 minutes after he's, you know, after he stops berating you for scheming against him, he's going to say, you know what, I take that back. You guys are my best friends. So, I mean, yeah, and that's...
Is he on, he must be on meds of some sort.
Well... Right now, he's being taken care of, yeah, so...
Okay. I mean, I admit, I was rather shocked. I mean, I've always... The last I had seen of him, there was a website. I mean, I've never seen him in person. I live on the East Coast anyway, but there was a website that had a footage of him. They found him on you know, on the street, and he was in a good mood, and it was his 56th birthday. And
yeah, he made Mel Myers. Song.
What, sorry? What was that?
I'm 56 years old today. Big deal.
Who cares? Who cares? But at least I'm still alive. That was
right.
his song for them. It was great. But that was it. I mean, and then there was footage of him performing somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I'd actually ever physically seen him perform. And he was already not old, but well into middle age, and doing, you know, I'm the meanie. That was it. And then, 5 years ago, I saw that on the web. And then, bam, we're flipping channels at night. And there he is on Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
What was up with that? How did that occur? Was that from Melrose Larry or what?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of it was. A producer from the Jimmy Kimmel Show happened to be a big fan of Wild Man Fisher and was trying to, I guess supposedly trying to book him for a long time. And Melrose Larry Green said, you know, I have access to Larry. I'll put you in touch with Josh and Jeremy. And what happened was the producer called us because, you know, we were the only ones that were in contact, you know, with Larry at the time. We were the only ones that actually had his phone number. And so we kind of arranged for Larry to go in there and try out for the show. And the audition went really well, and they called us back and said, okay, well, we want to have Larry on the show. And, you know, we took Larry to the show, and, yeah, it went really well.
It really, actually, I was so when they first called the name, I was in shock. Because, like, it couldn't be. And then, of course, it was. And then I was nervous while he was doing it, and then I had recorded it and played it back, and I was like, you know what? He did all right. He knows how to work a crowd.
Absolutely. He's been doing it for a long time.
So I was has there been any positive... the only word I can think of is fallout, even though it's a negative word, but since that exposure, I mean, has there been now a bump in what he is doing? Here he was in the public eye, at least for 2 or 3 minutes, on a major late-night talk show. So did that lead to...
He has told me that he has watched the tape over 15,000 times.
Oh, dear God. Okay.
I don't know what that means. Yeah. I don't know if that's true. All I know is that he has a VCR, he has a VHS copy of the tape, and he has a TV. And he doesn't have a job, and he doesn't like leaving the house too much nowadays.
Oh.
So,
does he live
saying
in,
that he's enjoyed that, watching that, is an understatement.
Oh, my question was more about did that lead to a concert? No, did it lead to a concert? Did it lead to...
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I think he's satisfied at this point, you know? I mean, he's been Wildman Fisher for 60 years, you know, or for 50 years, mm-hmm. ever since he, you know, became the guy who was singing songs for a dime on the Sunset Strip. So, you know, with... you know, marginal success, underground success, which is, you know, not what he set out to do. He set out to be, you know, as Evening with Wildman Fisher album states, bigger than Bob Dylan, bigger than the Beatles. So,
Well, that won't.
So he's right now, he's comfortable, you know, in his role, you know, as Wildman Fisher, and he's really excited for this movie to come out, you know. We've been doing it for a long time, we've been perfecting it,
And now it is finished. It's ready to go. You know, it's entered in the festival at the South by Southwest Festival, which is where again?
It's in Austin, Texas, and it's going to be premiering, I think, on March 13th.
And then what? I mean, you have the film done. Do you have a distributor, or is that what the festival is all about?
That's basically what the festival is for.
Cool. Do you see it as theatrical release? Or
absolutely.
Great.
We do, definitely.
Cool. I mean, I would love to see it come to New York and Film Forum or the Angelica or something like that.
We'd love to bring it to New York.
It would be major. I mean, I guess you have to premiere it in San Francisco, but after that, you know, wherever. Or does the South by Southwest count as the premiere? I don't know how these things work.
South by Southwest, we intend to show it as, you know, at least a few more festivals. And, you know, and then we'll see. We'd love for it to go theatrical. You know, that's really ultimately what we want with this.
What would you say is the most surprising or amazing or poignant story that came out of this or that he told that either made it to the film or he ultimately said, you know what, please don't put that in?
It's basically the story of his present-day struggle, which we documented, you know, throughout the film. A lot of the film is looking back on his life, but I think... the greatest story of all is actually, you know, him dealing with his disease and his present situation. And we actually, you know, we actually captured that. And I think it's extremely moving, and I think that's going to get the most reaction. Even if you have no idea who this man is, even if you don't care about his music, you know,
maybe after the movie you will, that's
yeah,
the point. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, know, we've been getting extremely positive reactions from a lot of people. So, you know, in terms of Wildman Fisher being limited, you know, I don't think so. I don't think his career is over at all. I think with this movie, it's just going to, the legend is just going
to
grow.
Well, that also leads to, and I know we only have another minute or two left, but what about new songs or a new album? Is there any talk or I'm sure he must have, you know, 500 songs that he can winnow down into 15 or 20 for a new record, but no talk of that?
At this point, there's no talk about a new album. You know, I mean, who knows what could happen, but one of the great things about our movie is that our movie will be, I guess, the vehicle for a lot of his new songs.
Cool.
You know, in our movie, there's tons of songs that you've never heard before.
Oh, fabulous.
Some of them Larry made up right on the spot as we were filming them. Some of them he made up in the, 70s, 80s, 90s, and they were just never released. So,
and they're amazing songs.
Oh, yes.
They're brilliant.
Well, then one word for you guys. I mean, soundtrack, please.
Yeah.
You know,
and, you know, we're trying.
And the other question I want to ask, and I should have asked this before, I'll probably re-edit this so it's somewhere in the middle of the interview, because I don't want to tail-end it with this, but one of the people I noticed, first of all, you have a fabulous trailer, and if people want to see it, they can go to your website. It's derailroaded.com?
Yeah, www.derailroaded.com.
Yeah, the trailer really makes you want to see the movie, even if you're not a huge Wildman Fisher fan like I am. And I noticed that you interviewed Gale Zappa.
Right.
Now, in the lore of Wildman Fisher, and some of that you've already debunked today, she's kind of the meanie. She's something of the bad guy, because it tended, I think, to be she who disallowed the Wildman Fisher, the first double album, to be put on CD. She always felt it was disrespectful to him. He was a sick man, and that's why, you know, let him be, and don't put this music out in a format that all these young kids might get a hold of and start making fun of him or something. What's the deal with her?
Well, see, that's actually not true. You know, that was just something that, you know, was spread around the internet. You know, those were definitely not Gail's words. Gail does definitely respect Larry's work and, you know, has been talking through the years about possibly re-releasing it. You know, there's no date set for that, but...
But I think in the film, you know, she expresses her feelings on Larry, and that's the only way that if you see it, then you'll realize, you know, that, you know, we clear up a lot of the myths surrounding that.
Oh, I know, but it's like everything that Frank Zappa ever did, every fart he ever laid down is on some, beyond the bootleg, is on some major re-release for Ryko or whatever,
right,
Bark and Pumpkin.
True.
And yet, this incredibly important album for both Zappa and certainly for Wildman Fisher has been held back for 20 years on, I assume, just her say-so.
Well, I think a lot... Okay, go ahead.
What?
I mean, I guess it's kind of easy to assume that because a record, you know, has not been released for all this time that, you know, maybe she just does not want to. But that's not true. You know, Gail doesn't do many public interviews, and I think that she has a lot of records to release. I mean, you've never seen Frank Zappa's vault.
Fair enough. Okay.
It's completely packed. There's always plenty of stuff on her plate, and there's just so many projects going at one time that sometimes time just doesn't allow her to release certain things that maybe aren't as high, you know, in demand as other projects.
But I think people who are interested in this film,
yeah,
and people who are interested in Wildman Fisher, and people who are also interested in Frank Zappa, should let it be known that they want this album to come out.
I mean, we've been.
I mean, it's so important. It's so important to
yeah.
the story, and it's so important to Frank's story. And
I mean, I'm sure when Rhino was putting together the Fisher King, which is all three Wildman Fisher albums on Rhino, plus all, like, the extraneous material that they could get, including his duet with Rosemary Clooney, and including all sorts of cool stuff. I'm sure they must have approached and said, you know, it's time. So that's why I'm just wondering, you know, maybe, as you said, maybe the documentary, knock wood, will bring that wonderful record to life.
We hope so.
Now, what are you, now that I realize you have to concentrate on this film and getting it out there and marketing it and finding the distributor, are you guys working on anything else creatively since that?
Not together right now. We actually have been working so closely together that,
you hate each other.
Yes. Okay. We don't hate each other, but we're just.
Well, where do you guys take a break for a while? Where do you guys work? I mean, I know you've got jobs to go back to after we do this interview, and that's why I'm going to end it in a moment or two. But what do you guys do when you're not doing the movie?
Secret agents.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, but you blew your cover because now I know you're secret.
Right.
I know that you're the Ubin twins,
right.
Ruben and Lubin, and I know that you've got this movie that, God willing, will be coming to a theater near us within the year, I hope. I hope you do great at the South by Southwest Festival. And most of all, I want to thank you both taking the time to talk with us about Wild Man Fisher.
Cool, man.
Pleasure. Our pleasure.
Oh, I have been railroaded by everybody. I have been sent off the track to wander like a fool. Oh, I have been derailroaded by everyone. They are liars and they are thieves, and they left me to stand around like a derailroaded fool. Oh, I have been derailroaded by the pipers and the sneakers. They have sent me off the track like a derailroaded fool. Oh, I have
What do the letters DFSX stand for? They stand for Dave's Gone By, that's what, because DFSXRadio.com is rebroadcasting vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By every Thursday night at 8 and 11 Eastern Time. So you hear me on GBB and then listen to me on DFSXRadio.com every Thursday night at 8 and 11. It's all the Dave you could ever want, kinda. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this St. Patrick's Day 2005, and I feel luckier than a leprechaun that I was able to spend the hour chatting with my two guests, Jeremy Lubin and Josh Rubin, creators of the new documentary Derailroaded, which opens this week at the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin, Texas. They're going to take the movie on the festival circuit for a little while, then look for a national release, hopefully to an art house theater near you. If you want to see the film's really neat trailer and find out more about the Ubin Twins and Wild Man Fisher, go to derailroaded.com, derailroaded.com. Wild Man Fisher does not have his own site, but the best one about him is run by Jim Pieron. It's a long URL. It's home.new.rr.com/tapelists/Wildman, but you can get to it just by Googling or Yahooing Wildman Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R, and theirs is the first website that pops up. Just as, if you Google Dave's Gone By, the first site that comes up will be davesgoneby.com, and the reason to go there is to find out more about this program, to buy a copy of this program, either tonight's episode, Re-Railroaded, or any previous show. They're $14 a piece on CD, shipping included. You can also buy my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, a whole bunch of funny plays by yours truly, available in both trade paperback and hardcover. And at the website, you can also find out how to advertise on Dave's Gone By. Maybe sponsor one of the regular segments and really connect your name, your business, with this popular program. Remember, we're not just on GBB anymore. Vintage episodes of the show now play on DFSXRadio.com. You can go there through a link on my website. Every Thursday night at 8 and 11 Eastern, DFSX plays a classic, Dave's Gone By. All you gotta do is surf over, point and click, it's free, it's me. And if you still can't get enough of the sound of my voice,
Remember that after Mike Shamiri's instrumental invasion of smooth jazz, I'm back here at 9 on WTBB, hosting Filler Up, an hour of music, just music. And since this is the night when Irish eyes are smiling and bloodshot, it's a packed St. Patrick's parade of music, including Sinead O'Connor, the Cranberries, the Clancy Brothers, and U2. And you, too, can feel a part of this show by writing to me, Dave's Gone By at AOL.com or snail mail, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557. We reserve the right to read your letters on the air, name withheld upon request. That's Dave's Gone By at AOL.com. Once again, let me thank the Ubins that you've been listening to. Let me thank my wife, Joyce, as always, for her love and grace and support. Thank you all for listening. You're the reason I'm here, and helping me stay here are my nifty sponsors, Total Theater, publishers of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Remember, Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off the subscription rate. And Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Tell the Toron boys you're a Dave's Gone By listener, and you'll get a strange look, but you'll also get 10% off your order. Once again, davesgoneby.com has all that discount information. Happy St. Patty's Day, everybody, and happy anniversary to my parents, the Lefkowitz team, one day early, 43 years together tomorrow. So I'll dedicate this closing song to them, written by Carolyn Lee and Johnny Richards, made famous by Frank Sinatra, and sung here by Wild Man Fisher on Dave's Gone By. We'll see you next Thursday, March 24th, 7 p.m. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night, stay young at heart, and gone by.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you. You're young at heart, or as rich you will find to be narrow of mind. If you're young at heart, you can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams are part of the theme. And here's the reason I get most exciting. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you arise out of being alive. And here is the best part, you have a head start. If you're among the very young at heart.
We're not trying to be perfect, my friend.